is your daily Denver Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On Network. I'm your host, Matt Moore. On a Saturday night after the Nuggets lost to the Brooklyn Nets, we're not actually going to talk about that game, nor are we going to talk about the loss to the Jazz. We did our Nuggets mailbag on Friday, Adam and I did, and we were going to bring you that episode. I actually got a recording of it, so we're going to do that. And that I will talk briefly about the losses to the Jazz and the Nets right now, though, because you're like, Matt, there were two games and they were big games. Why would you not talk about them on your podcast about the Nuggets and the games that they played? So first, I want to tell you that today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. So Nuggets lost to the Jazz on Friday. Bogdanovich went absolutely just ballistic, 48 points. I don't have a whole lot of analysis to give you on either of these games because the Nuggets rotation is so jacked up right now. It's hard to get any sort of like discerning view of it. The Nuggets defense could have been better in that game. You know, they probably needed, like, Aaron Gordon needed to play better defense, I think, on Bogdanovich. They probably needed to blitz him a little bit more to get the ball out of his hands. But in general, like, look, if I think Bogdanovich is a really good player. If he goes off for 48 points, you're going to lose. Like, even without Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell, if Bogdanovich scores 48, you're going to lose. That's just like a thing. I don't know any team that would be able to withstand 48 points from Bogdanovich. You can argue that many teams could prevent him from scoring 48 points. But in general, I don't necessarily know that that was going to be a doable prospect. The Jazz defense got better as the game went along. Teams continue to play MPJ pretty tight, and that's getting to be an issue. The Nets game was pretty simple. Aaron Gordon didn't play. And so the rotation was even shorter without Jamal Murray and Will Barton and Monte Morris and PJ Dozier. And so at one point you've got a situation where Michael Malone is forced to roll out lineups just featuring guys that were never meant to see the floor this year, just not supposed to be on the court unless it's a blowout. I mean, Vlatko played 15 minutes and was a plus two. Good for Vlatko. I actually did some stuff. So he was a plus two. So that's pretty good. But then like Bull played 12 minutes, you know, Marcus Howard had to play 13 minutes in this game, scored 13 points on 5 of 11 shooting, was a bucket, but you know, -9 because the Nets got hot. The Nets shot 84% in the third quarter. I would tell you like, oh, that's like Bogdanovich scoring 48, but the Nets just can score like that. Like they're just an incredible scoring team. Everybody can do it. And you saw that, like everybody got it going in that third quarter. Jeff Green was really good. Blake Griffin was really good. All their supporting guys stepped up and KD had 33 and Kyrie had 31. Like, what are you going to do? They just have a lot of firepower. And when the Nuggets are rolling out a starting lineup that features Austin Rivers, who joined the team 3 weeks ago, yeah, you're gonna walk out with a loss. Just as relevant to this is the big picture, which is the Nuggets are going to be the four seed. They are now two games back of the Clippers in the loss column. It's unlikely they're going to catch the Clippers. The Clippers don't have enough games left for the Nuggets to really be able to catch. So they're going to wind up as the four seed. The Lakers' loss to the Blazers on Friday was massive. As equally important was the Blazers' win versus the Spurs on Saturday. So to put this in perspective, I put this out on Twitter, but this is really the important part. If the Lakers play the Suns on Sunday after I record this, if after that happens, if the Suns were to beat the Lakers on Sunday, what you then have is a situation where the Blazers' magic number to secure the sixth seed and knock the Lakers into the seven is like 2. And the Blazers play the Rockets on Monday, and the Mavericks play the Cavaliers, who are in the same spot on Sunday. So if we assume those two wins, which again, I'm recording this before those games happen, maybe they slip. This is the NBA in a weird season. That stuff happens. But if that's what occurs, basically there's no way that they don't get one more game or that the Lakers don't lose again. And in which case, yeah, the Lakers are going to be the seven. So the Nuggets are basically either going to face the Mavericks or the Blazers. That's like a very high probability, north of like 70%, I would say. And that's good that they're not going to have to face the Lakers. Both those teams, Mavericks and the Blazers, can beat them. But it's tough. Michael Malone said after the game, by the way, after the game versus the Nets, that Monte Morris is getting closer. There's a possibility that he plays actually on Tuesday. So that would be a pretty big get to get him back. Just any guards whatsoever, it would be very helpful for the Nuggets. But I do think that he gets back. I think Will probably gets back pretty within, I don't know. I'm not going to say he does get back. I think it's possible he misses some of the first round, but he'll be back somewhere in this range. The other thing that Malone mentioned that I think is important, the Nuggets get a week off between next Sunday and their game, which will probably be on Saturday, the following weekend. So they're going to get a full 5 days off. That's going to be really good for the guys. Mental health, their physical health, everything. You got to factor those 5 days in. The Nuggets will not be in the play-in. Their magic number is like they're locked. So they're going to be in the playoffs. And so they're going to get full 5 days off. And so that's really good. Okay. On that episode, we had lots of great comments from everybody. We talked about a number of things. I thought it was a really good episode. So here's our mailbag on Friday from Locker Room. Hope you guys enjoy it. Thanks. Welcome to Locked On Nuggets Mailbag Edition here on the Locker Room app. Glad to have you guys along with us. If you guys have takes or questions, not just questions, if you're like, well, I don't really have anything I want to ask, if you're just like, I want to say the Faku Campazzo is awesome and you should shut up about that, you guys can raise your hand and get up and you can say that. We want to hear from you. Please be respectful and nice, though. We're trying to be respectful and nice to everyone, and that's including me. On this show, today we'll talk about the game versus the Jazz tonight. We will talk about we'll answer your questions that you put in the chat if you don't want to get up and speak. And we'll talk about what Nuggets fans need to root for tonight, depending on your various desires. I think that I have some disagreements with Adam over what the plan is here for the Nuggets. So we'll talk about that tonight on Locker Room. Thanks for joining us. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Nuggets if you have not already. Adam. Let's go ahead. What's up, Omar? Let's go ahead and get started here with this question. Why are the Nuggets 4-point underdogs to the Utah Jazz without Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley tonight?
It's a good question. This game to me, it's really interesting because the Nuggets, one, they might match up with the Utah Jazz, you know, depending on how the seeding shakes out, but in the second round. But the Jokic, part of what makes him so great, and in particular against Gobert, is that he can score in so many different ways. And Gobert can really defend in certain ways, but not always. And part of that is the two-man game with Jamal Murray and the ability to hit sort of those handoff mid-range pull-ups because Gobert likes to sink in the paint and not come out. And you have to be able to punish him. Well, tonight, Campazzo, we've seen him make shots. We haven't necessarily seen him make like dribble handoff foul line pull-up jumper shots. Like that's not one he goes to. You know, clearly not Shaq Harrison. Austin Rivers, maybe, but not like Jamal Murray. So I think tonight is interesting because Utah has a great defense and Jokic is a little bit limited in his weapons he gets to deploy against Gobert tonight. So to me, I think the line is probably okay. It's probably not, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Denver lost this one.
To let you know, just I know that this isn't the betting show, but just for your information, 41% of the tickets are on Denver, but just 33% of the money. 67% of the money is coming in on the Jazz. What that basically says is there's a bunch of really big bettors that are putting money in on Utah. They think that Utah is going to cover the spread. So
what's interesting about this, though, Matt, is, you know, I don't know if you think if you're Denver, I don't know how Michael Malone is planning, but you know, if Utah does finish in the one seed, I think Denver's going to be the four seed. Then you do look at this as a second round matchup and no Mitchell, no Conley. You're not going to get a great read on how you're going to defend Utah, but I do feel like you might need to experiment with some ways to score on them. And that's why I wonder if tonight Denver takes it a little more seriously. And if the Nuggets try some things out that they wouldn't usually.
I was asking in the comments, if the Nuggets win, do they clinch the four seed? The answer is yes. They clinch a top four seed with a win tonight. Or
it's crazy.
Actually, I'm sorry. That is incorrect. I apologize for that assessment. I forgot to tweet this morning. The Nuggets, you can all celebrate. The Nuggets have already actually clinched a top four seed by virtue of the fact that the Lakers and Blazers. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I got that wrong again. The Mavericks can still win 44. So, yeah, with a win tonight, they clinch the four seed. So, okay. Top four seed for them.
Still a formality, all but a formality, but yes, good to see.
And that's good. Like, home court in the first round, top four seed. We argued, like, remember back in, I guess, February when I was like, I can't see them getting to a top four seed. And now it's like, well, they're very much going to be a four seed, maybe the three. Let's talk about a little bit about where they're at in terms of the standings. Can we do that for a little bit? Or can your brain handle that if I overload you with numbers?
I can handle it for sure.
Okay, here's the deal. I've got projections from Action Network. We had them sim every game until the end of the season and like 10,000 times. And based off of those numbers, how often does X, Y happen? Here's the deal. The Nuggets are currently, you said that you believe they'll wind up in the four seed. That is what the projections all anticipate, is that they will wind up in the four seed. What's interesting is how this winds up breaking down. So the Nuggets have a 77% chance, according to the projections, of being the fourth seed in the Western Conference. They have just a 21% chance of being the three seed in the Western Conference. You have to think of this in terms of most of these models are built off of, is X team going to be favored and therefore should win, right? So, like, they're dogs to the Jazz tonight. They should lose this game.
Right.
They're going to be probably dogs of the Blazers just because of the context of where that season of that game is at in the season.
But does the model that you're talking about factor that in? Because that's the thing I wonder about all these models is,
yeah, it doesn't.
When they project the Lakers, are they projecting the LeBron-less Anthony Davis-less Lakers?
They are not. No, they are not. They're based. I'll say this: the projections for tonight on our site are based off of that. The projections for tonight are based off of the idea that LeBron will not play the next two games.
Okay.
He is expected to be back within the next three. So, like, that's where that comes down. What I did do this morning is I did take a look at this, and I posted this on Twitter to get a sense of it. The way this works out is if we look at where – at the actual win totals, there is – I am pulling this up right now. There's a 38% chance that the Nuggets wind up with 49 wins and a 16% chance that they wind up with 50 wins. So – I think 49 probably gets them home. And those numbers would be pretty strong in terms of getting them at home. Those are the Clippers numbers, I'm sorry. And then with the Nuggets, they are more likely to get like 48. So they're basically saying, what the projections are saying is the Clippers are much more expected to go about 5-1 the rest of the way. And the Nuggets are expected to go like 4-2 or worse. Right. I think that that's probably a little bit off, though. I think the Clippers may lose a little bit more.
Well, what's interesting is about this is I wonder what both teams are going to want to do. I guess with the Lakers falling to the play-in, you won't know, are they 7 or are they 8? So I don't know that Denver and the Clippers will be trying to lose games necessarily. Mm-hmm. But that's the one thing about all this is when you're projecting, it's like the Clippers could probably win every game from here on out if they want to. Do they want to? I don't know.
So here's a question. Let's say it's the last game of the season versus Portland.
Yep.
And let's say that the Lakers are one game behind Portland going into the final night of games.
Yep.
But the Blazers
this is going to happen, by the way. I'm pretty
but
sure
the Blazers win tonight. If the Nuggets win, they're the three seed. If they lose, the Lakers are the seven seed. What do you do?
I think you lose. I think anything to get the Lakers the most difficult path, you want to do that. The other part of that is probably just trying to avoid Clippers and Lakers, trying to pair those two against each other is probably smart. So you probably lose that one to put the Lakers down there. I mean, look, the Lakers, and I know a lot of people are saying, should we even be scared of the Lakers? I mean, there's a legitimate, at this point, I think that is a fair take to wonder if the Lakers are actually this scary sleeping giant. But if you can send them spiraling into a seven where they're going to have to win against hungry teams in a one game playoff, like, I'm all for it, man.
Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Chain stores have got different price tiers. If you're trying to get auto and body parts for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based on what the internet is going to be able to provide, what the market will bear, like the airlines do. Rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or an account login. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers and write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. So I think I was asking a question, and Omar asked, who's going to be the five? And I think it's a good question. I lean towards Dallas. This is the problem. Dallas's remaining schedule is super easy, and they suck versus easy teams. Like, they're just really bad versus bad teams. They have the worst record of the top 10 teams in the West versus teams under 500. Dallas is the worst team versus them. They beat the Nets last night. This is the thing. I always talk about this. What's your win profile? The win profile of the Dallas Mavericks is any given night, they can beat any team in the league, including the Lakers, the Clippers, the Suns, the Jazz, the Nets, the Bucks, the 86 Celtics, the 72 Lakers, the 1996 Bulls. But on any given night, they can also lose to the Kings, the Thunder, anybody. They play the Cavaliers twice. The Cavaliers are actively trying not to win.
Yeah, this is the thing about the tanking teams is you got Minnesota on the last night of the season. Like, they probably can't win that game. Because Minnesota, right, it will cost them. And of all the teams that can't afford to lose their pick, it's Minnesota. So Minnesota and Cleveland, those teams, those are almost three automatic wins. 3-3 might get it done anyway for the five seed. But then you just talk about needing to win one of the Memphis, New Orleans, Toronto. And Toronto, by the way, might just be done at that point. In fact, they almost certainly will be not trying for that game. So I think 4-2 is very likely for Dallas, and that's almost certainly good enough to get them the five seed.
Yeah, as a reminder, if the three teams wind up in a three-way tie, then it will go – if the Blazers win tonight and it winds up in a three-way tie, Dallas is division winner. They will win the five. The Blazers then would win head-to-head over the Lakers. They'd be the six, and the Lakers would be the seven.
I think this is happening, and it's funny you say this. I know some people that do, you know, some projection models. I know people that with a lot of resources who do projection models who have it extremely likely that the Lakers will be in the seven. Or in the play-in.
Yeah, so, and I mean, that's the thing, is having LeBron go back out for this game was massive. They needed to win this game. They need to win this game. Like, this is, if the Lakers win tonight, if the Blazers blazer, and they just completely get, like, if they just can't stop the Lakers, even with their terrible offense, which is possible, then this whole thing flips, and the Lakers are now way more likely to wind up in the six. And now you're in that spot where you're like, I might want to tail off a little bit and wind up with the four.
Same with the Clippers, which is funny. Yeah, here's a take for you, though, Matt. I think Utah, because I honestly think this Lakers team is beatable. I mean, look, they're tough, and they could be great. LeBron could come back and look like prime LeBron again. I mean, it's always on the table. But I think the Lakers look more beatable and will be more beatable than ever before. And part of me thinks, am I more afraid of the Lakers, Clippers, or Utah? Utah's also in a weird spot where they haven't been healthy for a little bit, but we feel like they'll bounce right back into it. I don't know if that's true. Utah, with going against Utah without a reliable shooting point guard or shooting scoring guard, might actually be the toughest matchup for Denver. And now that's why I look at it and I go, man, maybe beating Utah tonight, but then staying in the four seed, trying to get Phoenix to the one seed, maybe that's the answer, the best path.
Yeah, it's really interesting the way that these are matching up, because I think the Suns match up really well with the Clippers. I actually think the Lakers don't match up all that well with the Jazz. Like, I would bet the Lakers to win because I don't trust the Jazz.
Yeah.
But, like, if Utah is going to run drop, why do you run drop? Like, what do you give up in
running? Exactly. Jumpers, yeah. And they just don't have anybody to make
them. Yeah, it's just like, oh, yeah, LeBron on a bad ankle. Do you want to take 30 mid-range shots in the series? You could do that. That's totally fine. So I kind of think that that's interesting, too. I do think the Nuggets match up better with the Suns than the Jazz without Murray. I completely agree on that point as well. The matchups are really interesting, and, like, it's cool that the Nuggets are still – it's cool that we are still able to be like, hey, like, how they match up matters, because there's a path there. If the Suns are the one and the Nuggets are the four and the Mavericks are the five, I wouldn't have the Nuggets favor to make the Western Conference, but I would be looking very, very much to bet them in both of those series. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing, and you can track all of it at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game as the teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using promo code LOCKEDON. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
It's funny because I almost feel like the teams Denver was felt comfortable against with Murray and one now without are almost different. It's almost flipped. Like Utah, I was like, oh, bring them on. Like Nuggets are going to smoke Utah. But now Murray's out, I'm like, ooh, that might be the toughest matchup. And then you have teams, you know, even a Phoenix and to a certain degree, like Denver now has great defenders in the backcourt. Maybe they can handle Booker and Chris Paul and, you know, not handle. I mean, all good players are going to go off in a playoffs, but can you limit them to be a little bit less than what they are? I think Denver maybe can. So it's just funny how these things flip.
I have to make sure that you're okay with this. Are you okay to talk MVP, or do you want to avoid the conversation?
We can do it.
Okay. So we got some questions in the chat about it. There's the question, Blair asked us, here's my question. Nick Wright said the quiet part out loud about the ratings, but understanding that it is an inevitability that Jokic is MVP, is the media calculus to drive ratings by angering big market fans over Jokic, quote, stealing the MVP? Because it seems just as easy to accept the inevitability and begin propping Jokic up and building ratings in the future, despite the small market. He mentions Dame in Portland, Tim Duncan in San Antonio. So let's talk about this a little bit.
I'm just warning you, I'm coming in hot.
Okay. Do you want to go first?
No, I want to hear your what you have to say.
Okay, one. I think what Nick said yesterday was stupid. I like Nick Wright in general. Of the talking heads people, I think that he often has the best perspective on these things. He's a pretty thoughtful guy. I've known him a long time. What he said yesterday, I don't agree with it. I listened to his Instagram. Don't agree with that either. I think that he's stuck in a very outmoded way of thinking. And there's also there's legacy protection that goes on. Everybody's got their guy, and his is LeBron. And so there are things that feed off of that concoction as well. I think the other thing with this, look, Duncan wasn't raised up. They didn't Tim Duncan. They didn't. Right. San Antonio was a thorn in their side. It bothered them that the Spurs kept making it. They didn't want that because they couldn't market it. In part because I will say the Spurs made it equally hard because they didn't want to be, Tim Duncan's not going to do any of that stuff. I think Jokic is a little bit more marketable.
Okay, I got thoughts on that, but okay, it's a fair.
He's point. A more fun personality. He's also amicable. That's the other thing. I do feel like Joker is amicable. He's if you ask him to do something and it's this would be important for us, he'd probably be okay, if it's not too much of a bother, versus Duncan would be I have no time for that. I'm going home in my sweatpants to play Dungeons and Dragons.
You think Jokic wanted to talk to Rachel Nichols the other day?
No, I don't, exactly. But he did.
You're right, but he agreed. Exactly. That's it. That's why I'm agreeing with your point.
So I think, look, the big thing here is I've gone back and forth on this a lot. I tweet a lot about it. I don't know. It's both the combination of how Jokic visually looks and the fact that he plays in Denver. I don't know which is more of it. I can't, because I think if Jokic was a Laker, would this be different? Yeah, it would be. And if he were a hulking beast, would he be? And the answer is Melo was a superstar. Melo was a superstar in Denver. It's the combination, I think, of the two that creates the special dynamic. But I would just say there will not be I do think that there's a reason why a lot of the people that are in charge of large television narratives have a resistance. And I respect a lot of these people for the work that they put in. But I think that there is a reason why many of them are resistant to Jokic. It's because there's nothing to do with him. There's nothing to be done in terms of the discussion with him. And it's about basketball. And he can't do that.
Yes. I was going to say there is something you can talk about him that's as fascinating as just about any player in the NBA. But sadly, this is a product of 30 years of emphasizing the drama behind the NBA and not the actual game that is being played of it. And it's compounding. It's not a thing that we still had, in the 90s, Michael Jordan was the guy, right? It was the marketable person that you put on every single product. But the game still mattered, and there was still an appreciation for how we talk about the actual basketball rivalries and this or that. It's moved so far away from that year after year after year after year that now this is why it's absurd to some people that Jokic could get it, because Jokic scores a zero on the drama aspect of it, the social media, the hype, the WWE-ification of basketball. And this is what I think is – this is why I say the best thing that could happen to the NBA this year is for the Lakers to miss out on the playoffs. Maybe the Warriors too. They're kind of catching strays from some of this. But I think it's hilarious that people talk about it as, oh, what a travesty it would be for ratings, this or that. Maybe you need to change your business model. And maybe you need to look around the corner 2 or 3 years, maybe 4, maybe 5, who knows, for a league that exists without LeBron James. Because right now the league is acting as if they're completely screwed unless they can shove that LeBron story down everybody's throat. But guess what? That might be a reality sooner than people realize, and they're going to have to figure out a new way of covering this league. They won't, but that they need to be at least confronted with it.
I don't disagree. I've argued for a long time that the whole thing, there's this idea that, well, you're never going to be the NFL. Yeah, but you can still crib ideas from them. You can steal from MLB. You should steal totally. From MLS. You should steal from NHL. And most of these other leagues have strong fan bases with respected and like, it's fun that it's like, man, like the Detroit Red Wings are an institution. It's right. Fun. The totally. St. Louis Cardinals are an institution. It's
Cowboys,
fun.
Even
Green Bay Packers are an institution. The NFL is not like, oh man, are we going to have the Packers versus the Chiefs? They're just like, no, we're going to dominate anyway. It's a great matchup.
Chiefs versus Tampa Bay. Just Chiefs versus Tampa Bay. That's what happened. Yeah, yeah. It was great.
Yeah, it was great. Well, not great. I wouldn't say that. But in general, like the idea was great. So like, this is the thing. It's just like, it should be more built around the fan bases. This is the whole thing.
And just the idea of the product of it. But the NBA is obviously so far in that other direction that it's going to take a real effort to go away from it. But they have to. Because this is the reality that's staring at it. If it's not now, it's 3 years from now.
Omar, I'm going to get you in just 1 second. I do want to point out this from Alan Law, who says, I'm glad there are guys like Zach Lowe and Bill Simmons that are backing up Jokic's greatness on their platform. Like, that Jokic podcast on Bill Simmons' podcast was great.
Incredible.
Kyle and Kevin O'Connor. It was like, that's what you need to have more of, is like, let's celebrate this player rather than, like, really? This guy, and I do think that like one of the big things is just like, we got to break through. I will say this, as somebody that was skeptical of Jokic from the beginning and had to be convinced time and time again, until when do you think I came around on him?
Probably that first playoff run.
Yeah,
it was all we had to see him in the playoffs, and he kicked ass.
Yeah. So I think, as somebody that was skeptical of him, I don't understand, like, one, he's won in the playoffs, too. Like, these accomplishments are amazing. Three, just, like, watch him. Like, this guy is – he's like Bill Walton in a bigger body with, like, more touch. It's insane. Like, I mean, it's insane what he is. Omar, what do you got?
Okay, so –
buddy.
I muted myself because you had me on a little earlier and I didn't want to have any stray audio. But I don't mean to hurt your feelings, Matt. Uh-oh. But there's some there's some rumors out here, and I think you know which ones I'm talking about. The ones about Aaron Rodgers going to the Broncos. Uh-huh. So I know this is kind of a sensitive subject for you, but what do you guys think that would do to the Nuggets standing in the Denver sports community if something like that were to happen?
I think they'll still be in the same – like, they'll be in a worse place, because when Peyton was here, nobody paid attention to the Nuggets,
when Peyton was here, the Nuggets were horrible.
Yeah, they were terrible. But, like, I think it would be – I don't see any benefit. Do you, Adam? Like, do you see any way that, like, the Broncos being better would raise the Nuggets up?
I do. I think first and foremost, I don't think it will harm. Or you could probably take him off there, man. I could hear, like, a – on my end, at least, a big white noise. Sure. I don't think it will hurt. First of all, I think there's room in people's hearts for multiple things. And I think, it's not one of those things where it's like, if the Broncos are good, it automatically takes away from the Nuggets. What I think is where it could actually augment things is The Avs are, you know, have a great chance of winning the title this year and probably for years to come. The Nuggets are as good as they have been in their existence. And if the Broncos get Aaron Rodgers, they are probably a Super Bowl contending team, at least in that conversation. And I think there's something to having all of your teams very good that just like gets an entire city excited. You become more excited about the title town, like the Broncos, the Avs, like you just, there's a toxicity to like, oh my gosh, we're all drunk with power now because all of our teams are good. So I actually think it'd be a great thing for the Nuggets even.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to happen because you're not going to win the division. You have the second best quarterback. I mean, you wouldn't even have, the Broncos wouldn't even have the best passer in town. So, you know, good luck with that.
Not taking this bait. Not turning this into a Broncos show. Definitely not turning it into a Chiefs show.
Cade comments, and then there's the Rockies.
Well, the Rockies are there. They're there.
And they are there. Interesting. There's an interesting discussion going on in the in the comments here, Adam, about who's the perfect front court fit with Nikola Jokic. Is there, are there better fits than Gordon and MPJ?
I mean, of course, yeah. I mean, Giannis, Giannis and Kevin Durant are better fits.
Okay, why would Giannis be better?
Just defensively, like you probably automatically have a top 5-6 defense with Giannis. He's basically Aaron Gordon, but 7 feet tall and you know, more offensively dynamic. So, and then Kevin Durant is basically you know, Michael Porter, but better, you know, in his prime or whatever. So, they're the same though. That's what you kind of need. I know right now Gordon is a little bit like they're positionless. Who's the three? Who's the four? That's how it would be if you had a Giannis or KD.
I mean, Giannis, I think part of this is Giannis needs the ball. It would want the ball. Like, he's the MVP. Like, he wouldn't be like, yeah, no, I just want to play off of Jokic and we will have success.
It'd be great if Gordon was able to handle the ball a little bit more. I wonder if he is and just hasn't done it yet or what it is. But right now,
I know that the results were bad in Orlando. He can do it. He can't do it efficiently. Does that make sense? Like, do you understand that?
Of course.
That's the gap I'm kind of talking about. It's like, he can do it. Like, he can do it without dribbling off of his leg every time.
Right. Yeah,
it's exactly, just trying to get him the shots that he needs. I think that's a difficult one right now.
And part of this is the way, you know, the reads he had to make in Orlando are going to be so different from the reads he needs here. I don't like the progress that, or lack of progress that has been made on that front, especially with everybody going down. I do think when you talk about spacing problems, you know, given Denver's lack of shooting right now, I do think one way you solve that is by having the ball in Gordon's hands to run dribble handoffs and pick and rolls. Doesn't need to be dynamic. Doesn't need to be Jamal Murray. Doesn't need to be Chris Paul. But if he could just do a little bit more than he has, but they don't really even go to that often. So I think he can definitely be better, but he does appear to be pretty limited offensively. Giannis, but by the way, Giannis, I think if he came to Denver, which I don't know how you feel, Matt. I feel like it's possible. I mean, we're talking 4 years from now, 3 years from now, whatever, but I don't know. Giannis, Jokic.
I've just listened to you be like, Kevin Durant's possible. I've listened to too many to be like,
well, this one, I would say slightly more possible than a Kevin Durant or LeBron or any of that kind of stuff. But I'm not saying, and it's so far away, it's not really worth talking about. But
I also think it's like, here's the thing. It's possible that he could wind up in Denver. It's also possible he wins the title this year. Like, I think the Bucks are sneaky kind of good this year.
Those things aren't even exclusive. I'm talking about, you know, Giannis just signed a large extension. I'm 3 years from now or whatever, just, you know, that's about the age where guys are like, I kind of want to play with my friends. I've been loyal. I've done this or that. But in a world where Giannis and Jokic played together, I think the ball, I don't think the question of, well, the ball needs to be in so-and-so's hand is an issue.
Okay, that's going to wrap it up for Locked On Nuggets. We shortened this episode for just because I don't want an hour and a half episode up on there, but you guys should definitely check out our locker room every Friday. It's awesome. If you were one of the folks that got up on stage with us, apologies for cutting the episode. Just had to cut it down for the length because you guys had lots of great comments last week and we're really excited to have those with you. Make sure to check out every Friday at noon, our locker room, me and Adam Mares. We'll be back tomorrow night with another episode, getting you set for the week to come as the Nuggets kind of probably ramp down a little bit. I asked Malone after the game versus the Nets about whether or not he would be possibly getting some time for them. And he said, yeah, he'd be looking for some of the heavy minutes guys to probably get him a night off if he can, given how short the rotation is due to injury. So I'm not saying that the Nuggets are going to start throwing games, but their incentive to win is pretty greatly reduced. They're not going to get worse than four. They're not going to get better than probably four. And so they're pretty much locked into the fourth seed. And that's a good thing because that means you can just focus on getting ready for the playoffs, which is why you do the entire regular season. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. We sure enjoyed it. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Check out all of Adam's stuff over at DNVR. And we will talk to you guys again starting on first thing. You will have a new episode in your inbox on Monday morning from Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for joining us.